Now, while all of us were watching the Eurovision and it beamed into millions of homes around the world, one person who wasn't expecting to be watching it from his hospital bed was Edward Grimes from Jedward, after undergoing emergency surgery earlier that day. And Edward is online now, and I think John is in the background. How are you doing, Edward?
Hi, Ray. Thanks so much for doing this interview, because you've always been in our corner over the years. Like, it was such a scary time because I hadn't planned. Like, the whole week leading up to Eurovision, I just didn't think I'd be in my hospital bed, hooked up to a catheter, not being able to go myself, on my left arm, having antibiotics pumped into me. It was such a whirlwind knowing that it was all happening. But I just feel the whole experience, just, I was so vulnerable and exposed, and just the whole process and everything was unplanned. And
well,
I just,
you don't plan emergency surgery, Edward. No, that's not the way it
and
works.
It's just so weird because mentally and physically, I wasn't ready for this. Wasn't ready to be getting a COVID swab my nose, get my bloods checked four times, being hooked up to a drip. And it was like this excruciating pain all night. I couldn't sleep. I just knew something was up. It's like I was giving birth to an alien or something had taken over my body. I didn't know if I wanted to go to the toilet. Didn't know if I wanted to get sick. I couldn't eat. It was mad. Like, I'm very chill, and I know usually I'm not like the drama queen going, Jesus, something's wrong with me, I let it go. But I knew, like, just that this was up. And then I was already at the peak pain on Thursday night, so I hadn't slept. And then the next day it kind of subsided to a degree where I was like, oh, I'm on my way, I'll be grand. And then I called up the nurse or whatever, and she said all the symptoms, like, get into hospital now. And when I got there, they did my blood tests and they saw the toxicity levels within me weren't right. And then I did a CT scan. It was like a full-on Grey's Anatomy episode. And the whole thing that was really hard was that, thank God I had a shower, thank God I wasn't a wild jungle down there, because like they had to do a lot of checks and stuff. But
you're sorry,
you're hilarious. I'm not a needle person. I don't like needles. And just knowing that COVID was happening, and just knowing that if I had COVID, would they treat me? Would they let me? And originally, they didn't have a bed for me. And there was like this whole bed roulette situation where it's like, if they do the CT scan and it comes back and I have something, they were going to have to transfer me to St. Vincent's. But luckily, the team in the Beacon and everyone, I shared my ward with this really sweet old man. Like, he was literally 80 plus and he was getting his heart surgery done. And I felt I brought so much life to the ward, and just him in general. He was calling his wife, everyone was just so like buzzing. Like, and it was such a crazy, tragic time. But the only thing that got me through it was humor and just to have the laugh and taking the
picture. I saw pictures of you, and I have to say I was shocked by your appearance. You were gaunt, black shadows around your eyes, black rings around your eyes. You looked very ill.
Yeah, like usually people see me, I'm like a bloody like Ken doll. Like, there's not a spot, but my eyes, just everything. I just don't know if it's the blood or whatever shows in your eyes, but just your well-being, you could just see it. And originally I wasn't going to tell anyone because I was worried about jeopardizing future work and just not knowing what was going to happen or what they'd suss out from inside me. So and then originally I was like, oh, it's too much to be here all by myself, just share the experience with everyone. And everyone was like, aha, you're close to the waterline, because I couldn't actually go to the toilet, so they had took me up to a urethra. And I just felt so exposed and vulnerable, and just,
you poor thing.
That was,
and I was so here it was well.
Yeah, I'd say you were.
John's here as well.
Yeah,
everybody.
Hey John, how are you doing?
Yeah.
It's Edward's story, John, but you must have been very worried.
Yeah, I was. It was really, really hard, you know, not being able to give him a hug or, you know, give him some reassurance or see him before or after the surgery. And I just wanted to, you know, let him know that it was going to be okay. And I was scared for him. And then I was scared as well. I went back after it was in hospital and I couldn't see him. And I even had a few tears in my mouth. I'm like, what would I do without Ed? Or like, honestly, I was just, you know, so taken back from it all. Because one minute we were bringing him there, and then it was, we were there with him, and then we couldn't see him. And then just the anxiety of it all, and just
John had to get
so
me an iPhone
useless
charger. He had to get me pants, socks. He was like, it was like just a real Karen
all
twin, and then he had to leave at the reception. But it was just a weird feeling, not knowing.
And Edward,
what,
it was a burst appendix, was it?
Yeah, it was like ruptured. Like I there was just like a lot happening. Like, it felt like I'd a whole new realm, and I felt, like, I know it sounds dramatic, and I know a lot of people do get this
it
procedure,
like,
but the fact
like
that a lot
punched
of people. John, are you talking? A lot of people let things go and you just don't know the damage you're doing to yourself, because you have family members that sometimes they never go to the doctor, they never go to the hospital, they let things go and it leads to a bigger issue. So I'm just urging everyone listening right now, just if you have symptoms or you feel something, have a quick Google. And Jesus, like, you'll be in a worse state. So just focus on yourself.
You rang the VHI nurse, I believe. You're out the other side, which is brilliant.
100%. It's just weird because I now have 3 scars. I'm literally going to embrace these war scars. I'll be like, yeah, I got an operation.
As well as you're the man who's beside you in the room, you'd be not that you became a celebrity, you were a celebrity and all the nurses wanted selfies, which was brilliant. But you had a spiritual happening, did you? When did that happen?
You could not write this. I'd literally come home. I'm on my bed, at the end of my bed, just turn the lights off, just chilling here. And this bedroom was the room which our granddad's brother had slept in and been cared for by our family. Our mom had been in this room. This is the room in our house. And even before this whole experience, I have had seen ghosts in my other locations. But over the years, I've just never said anything in fear of not being able to sell the house because people think there's ghosts. But it was like this aura of energy at the end of my bed. It wasn't even a figure. It was more of like a 360 revolving source of energy. And I thought I was imagining things. So I was actually calling a family member, like, just come in and check it, and just like, I'm not imagining things. And I felt like almost like a gust of wind coming in over my shoulder of like speckled stuff, but there was the main focus point was at the end of my bed.
Did it have form or was it just an energy?
It wasn't a human form, but it was like an energy of white. I don't even know. Like, I literally have had so much stories. People hit me up with all their experiences, but I've been that person that doesn't believe in these type of things or just things like that in general.
And were you on painkillers?
I was clear-minded. I was calling people.
No, because morphine, for example, would
No, it wasn't on those strong painkillers. No. I was literally
Edward's a very certain person. He's not just going around trying to, you know, sell a Ghostbuster
this
gun
happened
or
to
something.
Me when I was 11
see,
and 12.
He sees these things.
Right.
It is energy, and it is nice to know that we are surrounded by good spirits, because a lot of people are doing Ouija boards or calling bad spirits on Halloween everything. So
and
I just think a lot of people
need now is love.
Oh, yes, of course. So these were positive. This is a positive energy, Edward.
Oh no, I was very hot up. I was very God, I can't believe I'm back from the hospital. And this just this overwhelming sense, just calm and content.
Okay.
I wasn't scared, because last time this happened, I was going, oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee and tell the ghost to move on to the next realm. But this time I was just like, ah, Jesus, I don't care. I've been through it all. I just do whatever you have to do. I need to go to sleep. I really was. I haven't even called him to move on. I'm just like, you need to be here. Go ahead.
Are you fully recovered now?
I know physically and mentally I'm there, but I know physically I won't be doing any bang, bang, pow anytime soon.
Right.
So I'm definitely out of service in those other areas. But we have a new show that we're doing. So we're just kind of getting outfits and stuff ready for that. And that's happening in June. So that's kind of kept my mind off things, just getting things ready for that.
Yeah. I would imagine at a time like this, when you felt, as you said, exposed and vulnerable, that you missed your mom extra. You know, that because at
Which
times
so
like
weird,
that.
Because when you're in hospital, it takes you back to those moments when you go to see your granddad or someone who's having surgery. And the fact that no one was able to be there just to sit and have the chats. It's like all I had was my social media and people sending
and
me some supportive messages.
Yeah.
I just felt like, you know, like during times of this, you realize, you know, you love your twin more than you ever thought possible. Because you're just like, you don't want anything to happen to him. I don't want anything
to
happen to
Edward. Get out of here, you miss world with those lines.
No, I went back and I literally was about to cry. I'm not even joking. I was like,
come on,
he's
so
he
worried for
wrong
you.
With him
I was
now.
Really
he
worried
thinks he
for
needs
you.
To go get his appendix taken out.
I know, I'm scared, but hopefully it never happens to me.
But why is it always me? I've hurt the knee. I've had the appendix out. Yeah. I'm going through a lot more than you, John. No. You're the perfect twin. You're the
Well, so there's an album coming and there's a TV project which I'm really excited about, because I think you should be on telly. I've said that to you every time I spoke to you. So there's something in TV happening.
We manifested it together.
Great.
We're getting it together. It's going to be this new primetime show which you'll hear about soon, like within the next week and a half, but we don't have the exclusive thing, but like it's going to be good. It's going to be fun, but we're kind of focused on our album because like, we do make music, because I feel like sometimes people, they want to write about our lives and what's going on, but in the end of the day, we still always make our music.
Before before I let you go, it's great to hear you in good spirits, Edward. Good to hear you as well, John. You got loads of very positive mentions over the weekend, last weekend, and last week indeed, around the Eurovision. You're hugely popular with the Eurovision community.
Even William Shatner hit us up. Like, William Shatner's 90 and he got logged on to Twitter to send me some good energy.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
no, but Ray, it is definitely a massive spectacle. I feel like when we went out there with an open heart, our energy, you could see it in our eyes that we were making the most of the opportunity. And I feel, you know, Eurovision's always changing the whole time, the face
Ray,
of Eurovision.
Ray, come on.
And I feel
sonically, reeling the ears, leaving us out. Like, that was tragic. Like,
Tragic.
But I
love
think
a word.
It's good,
I love
morale.
A word.
And I think Leslie Boy did do her best.
Here's the question, the big question. Would you consider representing Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest once again, Jedward? Third time looking.
We're going to do it, and you're going to be our backing dancer.
We're going to get writing an amazing
if
song,
anything.
A song with emotions, a song that's going to bring people goosebumps on their skin.
If anything, we're going to definitely be doing the results, because come on, like.
Well, listen, I think you should. Third time lucky, lads. Third time lucky.
Ray, guess what? You know
the
what I was
new
thinking?
Album. Oh.
Go on.
What do you think?
You know what I was thinking?
The new album,
like,
okay, we're going to do a new album, okay? And we sent you some exclusive tracks there, okay? So
I'll play a little bit
awesome
of it here.
If you could play a preview of it. Like,
come get your love,
out.
Jedward. Edward, mind yourself. John, good talking
Thanks,
to you.
Ray.
See
Thank
you,
guys.
I know you're searching for something that gives you the thrill. An all-time high. You babe, I know how you feel. You gotta come get your, come get your, come get your love. I'll make you what you deserve. You got okay, Jedward there. Come get your love, and we'll hear the finished product in the months to come. 5 on 5, 5 on, Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.